Well, we want to welcome each and every one of you on this Christmas Eve. To spend this hour with us, it's always a special time. All this month, we've been lighting these special Advent candles, the candle of hope, candle of love, the candle of joy. Last week, we lit the candle of peace. As we have looked at God's glory and His attributes that have come to us during this season, Jesus is our filter so that we can see the Father, and He has declared His presence. If we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. And so that's been our experience this month, and tonight will be no different, but we have one more candle that we must light tonight. It is the Christ candle. And last year we had Emmy Haggard light our candle for us, and it's been a year now. She accepted the Lord a year ago, and so I've asked her to come again and light the candle for us. She's walked with the Lord this whole year. Every Sunday morning, I love to see Emmy over there. That's where she sits every Sunday. She's got her seat. And every Sunday, I ask you a question. What is it? I ask her, what's your number? Yeah, because on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the absolute best, 1 being, well, you know. And so every Sunday, I get to hear what her number is. And, you know, it's been creeping up. Her number's creeping up. And so tonight, she's going to share some scriptures with us, and then she's going to light the Christ candle for us.
As we light the Christ candle celebrating the arrival of Christ in Christmas, let us remember how our Savior came once as a lowly baby that the world through Him may be saved, and how He will return one day in glory. Luke 2, verses 8-11, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And lastly, John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Glory to God. I forgot to ask her what her number is, but I think on Christmas Eve it'd be a 10, wouldn't it? It'd have to be a 10. Well, tonight we have a special treat for you, back by popular demand. We're going to get to witness a little skit tonight. It's a special skit. There's so much we don't know about Mary's experience, especially with her family. In fact, tomorrow we'll read her story. Tonight we'll look at it again, and we know what the scriptures tell us in Matthew and Luke, but there's so much we don't know. What was it like when she told her story to her parents, especially her father? Can you imagine? And I'm going to try to light this candle. There we go. We don't know for sure what happened, but we can only imagine that maybe it went something like this.
"Daughter, I know I haven't written in a while, but the neighbor's little girl brought us a loaf of bread this morning, and it reminded me of something. Do you remember that day you decided to help your mother make dinner? You couldn't have been more than 5. Your mother was next door visiting the neighbors when you decided it was dinner time. It was a wonder you didn't burn down the house cooking that bread. I got home just in time to see you covered in flour, pulling a perfectly cooked loaf of bread out of the oven. That wouldn't be the last time that you astounded your dear Papa.
Your grandson is taking a nap, and my better half is at the shop. He always seems to be at the shop since his skills are in such high demand. But I thought I would take a moment to write. I think of you every day, right about this time. It's when you always came home for lunch. I remember running at you full tilt when you came through the door, calling out, "Where's
my little girl?" "My little girl is quite a good cook," I would tell people. I was always so eager to talk about you, to brag on how smart and hardworking you were. We used to be so close. You were Daddy's little girl for so long. That's why I just can't understand how you could let this happen. When I looked toward your future, I had such high hopes
when the messenger came with the letter from home. But no, still just Mama's name at the end. I've kept every letter you two have ever written me. I wish you would write more and not make Mama do it all, but I guess that's part of what happens when your father is convinced that you've disgraced our family name.
Has taken quite a hit. But what I now think of as your situation. I can barely show my face at the synagogue anymore. I think it would just be better if you had at least admitted you'd done something wrong. And that husband of yours, I refuse to call him my son-in-law. He had us fooled. Seemed like a man with potential, a future. But now he's fallen in line with your ridiculous story. I can't imagine why
you would think I would have lied about this. Don't you think I know how ridiculous it sounds? Of course I do. I don't blame you for having doubts, but to flat out accuse me of lying, I thought you respected me more than that. Of all the childish things I may have done, I never once lied to either you or Mother. I know Mama has her doubts as well, but at least she's doing as I asked and weeding it out.
Why can't you see things through my eyes? I've told your mother that this is the time for tough love. We can't let you get away with these outrageous stories, playing us for fools. If you want to live and as an adult, we must hold you to adult standards and not accept this kind of foolishness.
That's what you called it. You looked right in my eyes and called it foolishness. That's what bothers me the most, I think,
is that I think you're fooling yourself. When I looked into your eyes, I didn't see deception. Fear, some confusion, something that resembled excitement, but not deception. Have you really convinced yourself that this is true?
This is true. I know it is, no matter who doubts me.
You gave birth to the Messiah. My daughter?
Me.
No. The Messiah would not have come in this way.
It was unexpected, but it's
nonsensical
and thrilling
and blasphemous,
exciting
and ridiculous,
amazing
and unbelievable,
astounding and terrifying.
I'm frightened for you, my daughter, my dearest Mary.
Papa, come visit and look in my eyes again. You have to know that I would not invent a story like this.
If it is true.
It is true, Papa.
If it is true, then nothing is as we have expected. Nothing is as we planned.
I can't explain it, Papa. I can't tell you how it will all work out, but
this changes everything.
It does, Papa. The God you have served so faithfully all your life is doing a new thing. And you get a front row seat. I don't want you to miss this.
But if the Messiah is not a conqueror, if that is different, then I have great suspicion that this road will not be an easy one for you or your child.
I know that it won't be easy, Papa, but Joseph is beside me, and God is leading us.
Joseph. He really does believe you, doesn't he?
He does, Papa. However, he does have an advantage. God sent him an angel, too.
Be too much for you to send me an angel also.
Papa.
Daughter.
Don't miss out. You've prayed all your life for Messiah. You've taught me to expect the unexpected from the God of our fathers. You've instructed me in the faith of our fathers. All I'm asking is that you look to the heavens and ask for God to give you faith in this plan you weren't expecting. Trust me.
My daughter, the mother of the Messiah? Can it really be true?
Yes, Papa.
Yes, Mary.
We've had plenty of guests since the baby came. Shepherds and some very wise men from far away, even. I've had lots to ponder and Joseph has been so wonderful. But, Papa, I want you to see him, our little baby Jesus.
Jesus? You name the baby God saves?
Yes, Papa. It's the name the angels gave us.
Jesus. My daughter's baby.
Yes, Papa.
Jesus. The Messiah?
Yes, Papa.
So I suppose I must accept that after all the prayers and all these years,
Papa, we should be celebrating because
God is with us.
With all my love.
And with newly opened eyes, your Papa.
Devoted daughter.
Anna, pack some things. We're going to go see our grandson.
Joseph, you're home. Papa and Mama are coming for a visit.
Wow, that's pretty good, wasn't it? They did. Let's give them another hand. I think they did awesome. I wasn't planning on using a stand, but I realized I have to use this handheld, so I need to set my Bible here. Josiah came tonight because he heard I was going to speak for a short time, and he wanted to see it. He wanted to witness it. I told him, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Merry Christmas. I want to talk to you a little bit about Mary's story, as we've seen here. I can only imagine what it was like for Mary to tell her family, her neighbors, her friends, who's going to believe such a story? And the book of Luke tells us how this story developed. In the first chapter of Luke, I'm going to need a little more light if you can give me some, brother. Thank you. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Who is this angel? Well, if you look further in the chapter, this isn't his first visit. He also came to Zechariah. 6 months earlier, he brought Zechariah the news that they were going to have a baby in their old age. And Zechariah doubted what the angel said. And of course, we know he was muted until John the Baptist was born. It is that angel that appears to Mary. And the angel told Zechariah his position was such that he stood in the presence of God. That is the angel who came to bring this good news to Mary. And it's recorded for us that he came to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, there's a little debate going on about, was Mary really a virgin? Because the Greek says a young woman. But what determines this is two things. One, the context, because later she will say, I haven't known a man. What is that? It's a virgin, right? And the prophecy that Isaiah wrote 700 years before it happened, he said that would be the sign to us. And in verse 28, and having come in, the angel stood before her and said, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him and she heard this greeting, she pondered and wondered and considered what this greeting might mean. A couple things we're going to learn from Mary here tonight before we take communion and have our candle lighting service. One of the things I noticed right away in the story is God knew where Mary lived. Didn't have to Google it or get out the map. He showed up right in that place where Mary was. And as I think about that, I think God knows where I live too. And God shows up and he sends a message to her. He knew everything about her. He knew about her, the plans that she had. Didn't she have plans? She was engaged. And you got to understand, engagement then is not like engagement now. If you were engaged then and you decided to break it off, you had to get a divorce. That's how serious. It was just like being married, but it usually took about a year, and it tested the faithfulness of the couple. So here was Mary. She had great plans like any young woman. How old do you think she was? 14, probably. Any 14-year-olds here? Any of you have 14-year-olds? Man, really? Yeah. And the angel shows up to this young girl who was engaged to Joseph. In the midst of her plans, he presents a plan that he gives to her. Proverbs 16:9 says, the plans of man come from the heart of man, but God directs our steps. How many times has God interrupted our plans for his plan? Well, look at verse 30. It says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. That's a powerful statement. What he's really saying is that she has found the grace of God. Because grace, who knows what grace means? What do we say? It's the unmerited what? Favor of God. So he's saying that God is going to give her grace in this incredible plan that he's unfolding before her. And he told her, don't be afraid, because God's grace is coming. Ephesians 2 says that we are saved by grace through faith. That means, as I hear this story, that grace always comes before faith. Grace is what makes faith possible. How could this young woman believe such an announcement? It is that God brought grace to her. And grace comes to the humble, and it's grace that precedes faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and over his kingdom there will be no end. Here's the third of our fourth point is, here God comes. He knows right where you are. He comes in the midst of your plans with his plan. He gives grace that brings faith. And then he reveals the plan. I was thinking while I was reading this the other day, it was a spiritual sonogram. Anybody here had that experience lately? Now, when my children were born, it was a pretty simple. Now you got 3D. Isn't that cool? And you get to see all. You know, what does that tell us? It gives us a preliminary look at the baby. Or is it going to be a boy? Is it going to be a girl? And it tells us some initial things about it. And here the angel is literally giving her a snapshot of her baby that's coming. In John 16:12, because as we hear this announcement, you notice the angel doesn't tell her everything. How many of you like the song, Mary, Did You Know? I love that song, don't you? You notice a lot Mary didn't know. She didn't know. She knew she was giving birth to the Messiah, but she didn't know that he would die on a cross. She didn't know he was God. She didn't know that. The angel just told her enough. You will have the same experience when God comes and shares his will and plan. Sometimes it will be in part. In John 16:12, there is so much more I want to tell you, Jesus said, but you can't bear it now. You think that was true for Mary? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that's why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Oftentimes, God will give us just enough. I call it flashlight faith. Just enough light to take my next step. Why? Because if he told me everything, I wouldn't believe it. And I would be like Zechariah, how about you? How can this be? And so God gives us just enough. And then lastly, verse 34 through 38. Then Mary said to the angel, would you have asked this question? How can this be, since I do not know a man? You see, the context tells us she fulfills the prophecy. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month. She was one who was called barren, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We've been talking a lot about this lately. We serve the God of the first move. God always makes the first move. But when he does, then we are to make the next move. It's almost like a chess game. Your move. God's made the move. How did she position herself? She said, let it be unto me according to your word. She didn't know how it was going to happen, but she was going to trust by faith because grace brings faith. Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What did Mary do? She did exactly what you need to do. Romans 12, 1 through 2. We present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. It is our reasonable worship. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what Mary did. That's what we will do too, because now we also bear Christ within us. I want to leave you with one thought before we come to the table. We have a tendency to elevate Mary, and probably we should. The angel said she's blessed among women. She is. But I want you to know something about Mary. She was a sinner, just like you and me. And God called her and brought his grace into her life. And she responded in faith. We should remember Mary with fondness. But always remember this. In Luke 11, 27 through 28, Jesus one day was speaking to the crowd. And a woman yelled out in the crowd and said this to him. It says, as he was speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came, and the breast that nursed you. Now, if you were Jesus, wouldn't you say, I'll tell her? It's not what he said. Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Wow. I bet she wasn't expecting to hear that. That's a promise for me and you. I'm as blessed as Mary if I put into practice what God has put into. That's what Mary did, and that's what we're being called to. Can I pray with you? Father, on this Christmas Eve as we celebrate, the three most important words of Christmas, God with us. It's an incredible story. It's an impossible story. But you are the God that nothing is impossible. And so this Christmas, may we not get lost in all the family traditions and things that we do. They're all wonderful. But Lord, may we not forget the wonderful news of this season, that you came to earth. It is by your grace that you came, and we are responding to that move with faith. And I believe that you will bring that blessing of favor upon our lives, just as Jesus said, as we hear and obey the words that you have spoken to us. We love you, Lord, and we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. As we prepare to come and share at the table, I was giving this some thought at this evening meeting and time together, and this mystery of the incarnation, this strange way that God made the first move. It's not even as our skit indicated. It's not what anyone really would have picked. And for centuries, writers, artists, poets, theologians have sought to give meaning and weight to the mystery of the incarnation, the miracle mystery that without there would be no celebration of resurrection. And without, we would have no hope of resurrection. As the visual that you see here now, Jesus born in the manger, but the shadow of the cross, the ultimate purpose of why he came. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Eugene Peterson translated it this way: "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. We saw his glory." As I said, people for centuries have been trying to write and explain and beautify. Adam of Derba, somewhere in England, and I doubt that I pronounced it right, he was a monk. He wrote this around 1130 AD. "O child, creator of all, how humbly you lie in the manger, you who rule powerfully in heaven. There the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Here, however, you are held in the narrowest manger. There, in the beginning of the world, you decorated the earth with green grasses that produced seed, with fruit-bearing trees that produced fruit. You ornamented the heavens with the sun, the moon, and the stars, the sky with winged birds, and the waters with fish. You filled the land with reptiles, draft animals, and beasts. Here, however, in the end of the world, you are wrapped in swaddling clothes. O majesty, O lowness, O sublimity, O humility, O immense, eternal, and ancient of days, O small temporal infant, whose life is not yet one day upon the earth." Trying to communicate. This is something we get to experience. As we come to the table tonight, first off, we celebrate open communion. You're all welcome to come. And our practice is to come and gather, take our elements, go back to your seat, hold them, and then we'll share them together. I'll pray for you, and then we'll share the elements together. And if we could, you can start row by row and come out to the center, down the center, back down the other side, and back to your seats, and then I'll pray for you. Oh, and also, while you're here, grab a candle. About forgot the candles. Come. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for the mysteries. Thank you for the little insights we sometimes get. Thank you for your grace and that flashlight look that you give us faith for. Thank you for this cup and this bread. Lord, we receive it as from you and as your sacrifice. Father, thank you that we can fellowship one another, but we fellowship you and we experience Emmanuel, God with us. We give you praise for this evening. We give you praise for this season, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Kenny and Linda are going to help us light our candles. just a couple of instructions. Hold the candle
upright.
Don't tip it. It gets wax in the carpet. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, I'm going to have to go this way. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Amen. Would you stand with me? If you can. And then, as well as you can, would you please just lift your candles? I'm going to read to you. No, I'm not. No one puts lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And we'll sing together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Night that we've had here together. We've sung and we've praised the newborn King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But there's more. Thank God there's more. We have a phrase that we use around here. I wonder what this makes possible. I wonder what this is going to make possible. Well, we know what this made possible. But it takes a step from you. Amen. Just like a child, when he first learns how to walk, it begins with one step. That's all Christ asks you tonight. Is this your reality? Are you walking with the Lord? Maybe you've came with someone tonight and you don't understand it all. But there's so much more. Christ is our shepherd. He's our friend. He's our Savior. And tonight, if that's not your reality, I want to close with prayer. And just open your heart up to Him. It starts with this step and goes from there. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here tonight, Father, who does not know you, I just simply ask them to say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner, and I need you. Come into my heart and abide with me. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, I want to also pray for those out there whose Christmas is just not quite as bright as it may have been in the past because there's an empty chair at the table, a loved one is overseas, whatever. Father, I just ask that you'd comfort them right now with your Holy Spirit. Wrap your arms around them and just hug them close. So, Father, we thank you for this time and we give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite you all back for one service tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you here. And also, when you blow your candles out, there's some cans at the end of the aisle. You can just drop them in. And thank you so much for being here tonight and making an effort to be here. And with that, from the pastoral staff of Faith Community Church, Merry Christmas.